And remember, you could check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number one. Welcome back to the show. We check in with him each and every month. And every time he comes to the show, something else is happening in Central Ohio. That's why it is so proper for his Twitter, actually X, handle to be Build Central OH. And I was reading about this, I guess it's a new gas-fired power plant. And this is significant because with all these data centers, it's going to require a lot of power. Dorsey Hager, welcome back to the show. Talk to me about, what is it, Edge Connex? I guess that's the name, right?
Yeah, so they're looking at partnering with a data center here in New Albany. I've been to a couple of meetings, attendance and power siting meetings, you know, where people and community members can come and talk for or against. Obviously, as head of the building trades, but also personally, I'm 100% for this project. You know, there's been talks for the last 6 or 8 months, news media, social media, print media, and you and I have talked about it on this show. With all the data centers and the chips plant coming here and coming online, and then you have the EV factories, and you know a lot of the data centers and stuff, not only are doing data storage, but they're getting into artificial intelligence and AI, which uses a lot more electric. We're going to have to do something about the power. AEP has brought this up to the Ohio legislature many a times. Obviously, all the coal burning plants have came offline and they're no longer being utilized. So what looks like it's going to be next is because we have an abundance of natural gas is these cogens where the gas is piped in to the power plant. The power plant burns the gas, produces steam. The steam turns the turbine produces electricity, and then boom, there we go. The power siting boards and meetings in New Albany that I've went to that are dealing with this project, these folks are saying they can build a 225 megawatt cogen that'll run 24/7 all the time. It won't just come up online when power is needed. It'll produce power continuously. And it has the ability to expand to 850 megawatts, which would be tremendous, especially for the customer base that they want to support out there in Licking County with these data centers. The next part of the conversation, and I think the legislature is going to have to look at this and they're going to have to tackle this. And I've had a few conversations with state reps, state senators from both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, is they're going to have to see if these data centers build these cogens, if they can produce the power directly for them, which I think they'll be able to, instead of putting it on the grid and then coming back to the data center. Even if it goes directly to the data center, that'll still, you know, help us with the electricity. You know, I know there's been talks at the legislature, and I know there's been talks at AEP that if these data centers keep coming and if nothing's done, there's going to have to be added surcharges on everyone's electric bill. In the whole state of Ohio, just to look at new transmission lines, new sources of power, and what we can do. And as you know, here in Columbus and Central Ohio, we've been going gangbusters with the solar, but I really believe these cogens, if we can start producing these and producing them close to the data centers, to the chip plant, to the electric vehicle plants, to where these places need this power, I think this could be a lifesaver that could help us all. And obviously it's going to produce a tremendous amount of work for all the trades involved. So I'm really excited about it. I'm trying to learn more about the process. I'm getting out and I'm meeting with not only customers and end users, but also potential contractors that have done this in other parts of the country and that are coming here to Columbus and Central Ohio looking to build these projects.
You know, speaking of the workforce here, I mean, it's already March and it's always construction season, but obviously there's peaks and valleys and we're entering that high point coming up here next couple of months. How are we doing? Because every time, like I say, I talk to you, something else is happening. And we're going to need more workers and the apprenticeship programs. I know they're cranking. Can you give us an update on that, Dorsey?
Down by Honda, they're still going gangbusters. There's close to 5,000 building trades folks on that project. I know the next big job down in Fayette County, which we talked about a few months ago when the announcement was made, was Amazon. So the early plans are for 3 pretty decent sized data centers to kick off here in the next probably 30 to 60 days with groundbreaking and civil engineering and stuff. After that, you know, that $5 billion campus that Amazon has down in Fayette County is going to get going. So we're making sure that we're doing what we can do. You know, I'm constantly working on outreach events, job fairs, you know, I was fortunate enough last month to partner with the Ohio State Building Trades and the IBW here in Columbus 683. And they had guidance counselors come in from the largest school district in the state of Ohio, the Columbus City School District, but also from a lot of the suburban districts. And we were able to talk to them about the opportunities, not just for kids that are getting ready to graduate from high school, but folks that are freshmen and sophomores in high school and even seventh and eighth grade in middle school and maybe don't want to go to college or maybe realize that college is an affordable option for them, and talking to them about paths in the trades to where they can get on that direct path to the middle class a lot sooner, have that opportunity to make that six-figure income with a great benefit package and accrue no debt. So these are all things that we're doing. These are all conversations we're having. You know, we're constantly working with RJATCs, and we know that they're out there and they're recruiting and they're bringing folks in and doing tours and stuff of their training centers. Because, you know, like you and I have talked about on this program for years, you not only have to educate the kids, you got to educate the parents too, and let them know that, you know, construction isn't just somebody in the middle of a field or on the side of a highway, you know, with a shovel or a spade in his hand, digging a hole or whatever. There's a lot of intricate stuff to this construction that we do. And there's a lot of building trades careers that are not only pay well, but are also, you know, the physicality and the technology has gotten better. So the physicality is not what it used to be. And I think a lot of folks who went to high school and college and maybe took wood shop and learned about the trades 20 or 30 years ago don't realize how much it's evolved. And it truly is a professional career.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of science involved in what's happening today. You mentioned Honda in Fayette County. What happened over there? I understand we lost a worker.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we had an IBW member from Dayton, local 82, who getting up from his lunch hour, had a cardiac episode, unfortunately lost his life. You know, we're not only taking up a collection between the workers down there at Honda, but we also, the building trades has made a contribution in his memory. I know a lot of other local unions are looking to make a contribution as well. Very sad situation that happened. He had two apprentices on his crew. He had a first year apprentice out of Portsmouth, which that's their home jurisdiction. He had a second year apprentice out of Cincinnati that was working there as a traveler. Obviously, you know, we talk a lot in our apprenticeship programs about the skill and the training that we have and the expertise, but we also do quite a bit with safety, first aid, CPR, how to use different defibrillator machines and AEDs and stuff. And these two apprentices, you know, went right to work. Administered first aid, CPR, got the AED machine, tried to do what they could to help this person that was experiencing this episode. You know, they went, they called safety, they called 911. But unfortunately, this member lost his life. And it's never good when somebody loses their life on the work site. And it's especially tragic. You know, this is what was a non-work involved incident. And it was just very, very unfortunate. But it just, you know, it goes to show that every day is precious. And I went down on Thursday and with IBW business manager Joe Dillo, who's done an incredible job handling this. I think he has over 750 electricians on the job now. We went down on Thursday. We talked to the different members. We talked to the crews. Obviously, there was a lot of grief. A lot of folks were grief stricken. There was people on that job that had worked their entire 30, 35 year career with this member on different job sites who were very, very close to him, obviously very distraught. You know, Friday we went down, we addressed the stretch and flex. They have some folks that come in at 6, some folks that come in at 7. We addressed everybody that was down there, talked to them, listened to their concerns. We had a very long meeting Friday afternoon with TYK, Turner, Yates, and Kokosing. That's the triumvirate that's building that facility down there. We talked about ways to improve safety, improve the response time, make things better, you know, improve communications. And I think some good has come out of this, but also what it's done is it's opened my eyes to the other job sites that we have, especially that are in rural areas where we're building these mega projects. And unfortunately, some of these cities or some of these villages may only have a volunteer fire or volunteer EMS and may not be quite suited for this growth that's happening. And we have to make sure that we work with the customer and we work with the contractors that are building this and make sure that we have the proper safety people on site that can handle this. And those are the things that we're looking at now in these other jobs in our jurisdiction. So just a lot going on. And it, like I said, it really makes you open your eyes. We made sure to talk to all the members down there, you know, not only about working efficiently, but also working safely and having, you know, an eye on your tool buddy, your lunch buddy, the people in your immediate crew, to make sure that they're taken care of and that you're taking care of them as well. And that everybody's looking out for each other. And I think that maybe in the past, when I first got in the construction industry, that was something that maybe we didn't talk a lot about. And we're talking about it a lot more because, you know, obviously we want our members to show up every day, you know, earn the money that they deserve and that they make, be able to take that, you know, at the end of the day, go home, spend that money, spend that time with their family and friends and loved ones and enjoy their life. But also, you know, our members invest a lot in themselves and in their training, and our contractors and our training programs invest a lot in these members too. And, you know, it's an asset that can't be replaced, and we have to make sure that we take care of that. And I think that's what everyone's trying to do.
Absolutely. Safety is so important. But again, this was a non-workplace accident here. And how old was this individual, by the way?
I think he was 54.
Oh, 54. That's young.
Yes, that's really very young. Yeah. Very young.
All right, a couple things I want to go over here. And it's the city council in Columbus. We're talking a budget of $1.2 billion. But the most important part of that, four new community benefit agreements with the city. I like that. Talk to me about it, Dorsey. It's all yours, brother.
Yeah, so Mary Andrew Ginther, when he was elected in 2015, and even before he was elected, he talked about what we could do collectively, the building trades in the city of Columbus, with these community benefit agreements, to be very explicit and forward-thinking and getting people of color, women and vets, especially from these neighborhoods in the city of Columbus that are underserved and underrepresented, and letting these folks know about these opportunities that exist in the building trades. And the way to do that is to have the city, you know, use these community benefit agreements and work with the building trades. That way we're creating these career opportunities right in these neighborhoods where some of these, a lot of these folks and a lot of these Columbus residents live. So recently was handed four new community benefit agreements. One's a police substation. A couple of them are some smaller rec centers with some pools. And then the fourth one is the new safety campus for the city of Columbus. So it's all very exciting. It's quite a bit of work. There's a bunch of different work, so it should employ everybody from all the building trades, which is great. And I was talking to Councilman Rob Dorns, and I believe that under Mayor Ginther's leadership, since he took over and then since the community benefit agreement committee was formed, which these jobs come in front of them and they decide which ones have CBAs on them, which ones don't. I believe this puts us a little bit over $350 million total construction dollars spent utilizing these community benefit agreements. So the impact I think it's having on the city, but also Central Ohio, is incredible. I mean, obviously the building trades, you know, for years has worked on diversification, you know, trying to obviously represent the communities in which we live and work. And I think this is really helping as well. And when you can take folks out, whether they're in our Building Futures pre-apprenticeship program, or it's a high school class or a middle school class, or, you know, folks from the West Side Boys Club or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or whatever, and you walk them through a job site that's in their neighborhood, and they see one of their neighbors, or they see somebody they go to church with, or they see their, you know, youth basketball coach hanging that ductwork or insulating that pipe or welding that pipe or installing that electrical conduit, you know, that gives them a sense of pride. And they see in themselves, they see somebody that looks like them, and they know that these careers are not a pipe dream, and that if they wanted to do this, they could do it as well. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's really, really creating a huge focus and shining a light on these careers that I think a lot of people, unfortunately, in Central Ohio never knew existed. And that's what we're trying to do. And the mayor's been a tremendous advocate. He's been very helpful with us on this, as Councilman Dorns, who's an IBW member, and as is Council President Shannon Harden. So it's been tremendous.
You know, you bring up a good conversation here, and you know, the attacks, especially on DEI, and there's mixed messages here, because I know Sean McGarvey on the national level, he's all for it because he wants diversity in the trades. It's important. There's a lot of work out there, and it goes back to the pathway to the middle class. Get into those underserved communities, and they can find a way out to a very good-paying, family-sustaining job. But I'm just wondering, as far as the trade, I know you can only speak on behalf of what's going on in Central Ohio, but how do you feel about that with the messages that are going on from Washington? And what's happening in your own community? Can you speak to that?
Yeah. So a lot of my friends no matter what industry they work in, whether it's construction, whether it's healthcare, whether it's education, government, obviously we're in this capital city, state of Ohio and Columbus. They asked me, what is the building trades doing about their diversity, equity, and inclusion? What is the building trades doing, you know, again, to make sure they look like and resemble the community in which they work in? How is these executive orders coming out of DC going to affect what you're doing? And my thing is, they're not going to affect what we're doing here in Columbus on the local level whatsoever. We're going to continue to reach out. We're going to continue to try to find as many people that we can to come into our programs that want to learn, want to apply their skills, you know, and use their education to become good, you know, plumbers, pipe fitters, electricians, sheet metal workers, whatever, laborers, whatever they want to do. And we're going to put them on these career paths to where they can really, you know, make good wages and benefits so they can take care of themselves and their families and retire with dignity and respect. And the one thing that, you know, we don't talk a lot about on here as well is, you know, there's a lot of folks that are coming out of addiction. There's a lot of folks, you know, previously incarcerated, restored citizens. We're making sure we're working with those folks and trying to do what we can to give them these opportunities too, because everybody deserves, you know, I used to say everybody deserves a second chance, but you got to remember some of these folks that we're dealing with that were previously incarcerated, maybe came from broken homes, weren't given a good shot at a good public education because of their circumstance. You know, that's to take for granted that they were even given a first chance. Many of them weren't even given a first chance. So we're going to continue to do what we do. We're going to continue to advocate for all members of our community, no matter, you know, male, female, race, color, creed, religion, sexual orientation, no matter what. You know, we're a melting pot and we resemble the communities in which we work in, and we're going to continue to do that.
You think a lot of members regret who they voted for here, because there's a lot of union brothers and sisters that went for Trump and many in the GOP, and we're seeing attacks here, especially on unions. I mean, we're going to see a shakeup in the National Labor Relations Board. What are you hearing in Central Ohio about how they feel now?
Yeah, so obviously I try to do the best I can to educate our delegates and our managers and our agents, our reps, our organizers on what's happening politically that affects them, whether it's good or bad. You know, I did that with President Biden. You know, if he did something that was great, I let our members know. If he did something that maybe wasn't so great, I let them know. Fortunately for us, for President Biden, one of the most pro, you know, union presidents in the history of our country, you know, there wasn't a lot that he did that was detrimental to the building trades. President Trump and the people that he's appointing seem like they're going out of their way to attack registered apprenticeship. They're going out of their way to attack wind and solar, which is creating a ton of jobs for operating engineers, laborers, electricians, and it's also helping our electric, our energy footprint. You know, he's signed an executive order reversing Biden's executive order that federal projects over $35 million have project labor agreements on it. So when I was in the National Building Trades Conference a couple weeks ago, and I had the opportunity to speak one-on-one with Sean McGarvey, you know, it's like we said, there's so much stuff coming out of, you can't catch it all right now, but the things that directly affect the ability of our members to work and make a living, we have to read up on those. We have to educate ourselves, and we have to be able to get that message across to our members. You know, whether they voted for President Trump or not, we have to let them know what's coming out of DC. You know, you and I talked about on an earlier segment, you know, I was down at Honda LH and we had that non-workplace fatality. You know, a lot of the members were like, hey, you know, if there's a safety issue here that's not addressed, you know, my next thing that I need to do is to call OSHA. And I said, absolutely. I said, that's within your right and you should do that. I said, however, just realize that you may call OSHA and one day very soon they may not answer the phone, because that's another one of the branches of government that the Biden and Doge and Elon, or Trump and Doge and Elon Musk are looking to do away with, just like the Department of Education. And I know Department of Education maybe might not be, you know, what our building trades members are looking at, but it's a huge part of our communities. And to think about some of the things that they're doing that are going to affect, you know, mental health experts in the schools, people that are psychologically trained to take care of our students' needs, tutoring, people with developmental disabilities that some of our, learning disabled students need to get them ahead or keep them on par with their class, school lunches, tutoring. All this is under attack from the federal level with the abolishment of the Department of Education. And I think that a lot of people got to read, they got to educate themselves, and they got to see what some of these things coming out of DC are doing. And that's going to be my goal, for the next 3 years, is to educate our members, educate our unions, what's coming out of DC, what's good, what's bad, what's helping them, what's not helping them.
You mentioned OSHA, and I'm glad you brought that up, because there is legislation. Andy Biggs, he's a Republican congressman in Arizona. He's introduced legislation to dismantle OSHA on the federal level, eliminate it altogether. And this is what he said, Dorsey. He said, well, the states can do it. Okay. I'd like you to react to that. Now, the state has an OSHA program, not all of them, but I know Ohio does. Will they be able to fill the gap if we lose OSHA on a national level?
I don't think they will, because I don't think the state funding will be there. And I mean, I know, the state, the new House and Senate just got sworn in a couple of weeks ago, but, they're already looking at the budget and what the budget's going to look like, right now. I don't think the state would be able to step in and be able to do what OSHA's doing, just like I don't think the state would be able to step in and do what the Department of Education's doing. And I've been reading a lot of pieces here recently by different folks from different, print and online media. And I think what the Trump playbook is right now is he's putting Elon Musk in charge, whose popularity right now I think is about 23%. He's putting him in charge of gutting all these federal programs. And then Trump is going to take the credit for it and say, look at these billions and billions of dollars I solved. But then down the road, 5, 6, 10 months from now, like I said, when we have more workplace accidents, when we have more workplace fatalities, when we go back to a third world country and we have no OSHA protections and no safety on job sites, when the Department of Education is gutted and a lot of our students don't have the necessary resources that they need to get them, properly educated and trained to enter the workforce, that's when President Trump's going to, turn and point the finger at Elon and say, hey, he's the guy that did this. This wasn't me, So he's going to take the credit for saving the money. He's not going to take the credit for the consequences that are ultimately going to come down the line. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. And that's where we're at right now in politics.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens here. I'm sure there's some people that are going to be speaking out. They are speaking out, but it's not loud enough at this stage, it seems. Dorsey, thank you so much for once again, a great podcast here. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Again, website is columbusconstruction.org, and on X, formerly known as Twitter, BuildCentralOH. You take care, my friend. We'll talk to you next month. Okay, brother?
You too. Thank you so much, Flash. Great talking to you. When we get together in a month, we're going to be talking about the start of baseball and hopefully the Cavaliers keeping marching towards that first number one seed in the Eastern Conference and getting ready for the playoffs. So it's going to be exciting times.
I'm ready for that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Fred Redmond, it's our first Friday with Fred right after this on America's Workforce.